"That vampire of yours, Simon," Monty muttered. I watched as he stood up and retrieved the disinfectant and a cloth. "If Chi sent him, it's important," I said, taking my hands off the table. "By the way, what do you mean, before the change? It's not a full moon tonight."
"Doesn't matter. I've been changing every night since I felt like this. Don't need a full moon."
"You're changing without a full moon. Only a very old and powerful ware can do that," Monty answered, cleaning the table. "And you're neither. This may have a deeper source. I don't think it's just some ware illness." "Douglas, have you tried going to the Dark Council?" I asked. "They really are equipped to deal with this sort of thing."
"The Dark Council told me they couldn't help me," he yelled, pounding the table. "I saw them yesterday, and they said it was hopeless, that I should just end it or have someone do it for me."
A low rumble crept along the floor from under the table. "Douglas, I need you to calm down," I said, glancing at Peaches. "And I mean now." He took a deep breath and sat back in his chair. I looked under the table again. Peaches was no longer sprawled, but rested on his stomach and focused on Douglas. He gave me a quick look as if to say, "Can I have him for lunch?" I shook my head, and he dropped his, clearly disappointed.
"Sometimes the body can't resist the turning, and it has an adverse reaction," Monty said, moving to the other side of the table. "Although I haven't seen anything this severe. Have you been exposed to any strange magic?"
"You don't understand," Douglas said, and I saw him convulse. "I can't control it. Once I turn, I'm a threat, a menace to anyone around me."
"I get it, and right now turning is not a good idea," I said, pushing my chair back. "Let's think some calm thoughts and see if we can solve this."
"It's too late. It's happening."
He clenched his teeth as he gripped the table.
"You need to run. Get away while you can."
I reached for the silver restraints that were still on the table and attempted to put them on his wrists. I managed to get one on him, and I received a hairy back fist in return. I slid down the conference table and over the end. I got to my feet and saw Douglas convulse again as his body shifted and began the transformation. The restraint had no effect. He shredded his oversized suit and went full werewolf. "Monty, the restraint isn't stopping the turn. Are you sure it isn't a full moon? You didn't schedule to meet a sick ware during a full moon, did you?"
"No," Monty answered as he stepped back. "I wouldn't have scheduled this meeting on a full moon, Simon. This is a forced change, and looks like dark magic."
"Well, he didn't get the memo," I pointed at Douglas as he turned. "And what do you mean, dark magic? He's a ware, not a sorcerer." I didn't want to shoot Douglas. He seemed like a nice person and had come to us for help. The werewolf he transformed into, however, not so nice. The smell intensified with the transformation, which I didn't think was possible. It was now an essence of wet dog with a side of vomit. His bloodshot eyes fixed on me and he snarled. Peaches answered with a growl of his own.
"Hello, Tristan," Werewolf Douglas rasped. "It really has been too long."
"It's for you," I said as I moved back. "You know him? I've never met him before today. Who sent you?"
"Looks like he knows you," I shrugged.
"Oh, I do," Douglas said with a snarl. "I'm coming, and I'm bringing hell with me, Tristan."
"Much better in Tombstone when Kurt Russell said it," I answered. "Why don't you de-wolf and we can speak like civilized creatures?"
"I have a message for you, mage,"
Douglas said, and raked a claw across the conference table, the very expensive mahogany conference table. Monty clenched his jaw, flexed his hands, and narrowed his eyes as he looked down at the marks. I looked too, and saw that the claw marks were a design. It reminded me of crude Nazca lines. This one looked like a bird with wings outstretched.
"Whom shall I say is delivering this message?"